Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's that time of week where you download the crazy sheet, you get your favorite podcasting out. If you're driving to work, get you a hot cup of coffee. If you're sitting on your porch, get you something cold to drink. We're going to talk about some college football. I'm Mark. I'm here in the College Football Podcasting Studio, otherwise known as my backyard. And my man, Scotty, might even be home this week, but how the hell are you?
I'm good, man. Home. Still excited about last weekend. That was a mighty nice weekend for week one. I just got to tell you, I've had some really good week ones. I hadn't ever started a year like we're starting it right now. And it's been a long time since I laid wood on a game that early in the season with that much of my bankroll. It's been a long time.
It was fun. We went 8-1, Scott. That moves us to 10-1 on the season. Folks, do not get overly excited if you're new to the podcast. Gambling's all about regression. We're going to come back to the middle a little bit at some point, but we're going to try to keep this thing on the rails, keep it on a run. I thought opening weekend as college football was good. You had a lot of unders, and I think a lot of that is attributable to the fact that I tried to explain to somebody Saturday. I said, my impression of college football this year is you're going to have a small upper class, which we have almost every year, but this year I think we've got a really big middle class. Like the 5-6 to the 8-4, 9-3 team, those guys can beat anybody any given week. There is a ton of those teams out there because you've got so many returning players. You've got so many returning quarterbacks. You got teams that have had coaches in place, OCs in place, DCs in place. And so I think there's going to be a lot of good games as the season goes on. I'm excited to see what we're going to get.
Yeah, and I will say that Danny Cannell generally drives me nuts just because he's a pot stirrer, and I hate guys that say stuff. We got enough Paul Feinbaums out there. We got enough Stephen A. Smiths and guys like that just say stuff to rile people up and be a mouthpiece. We don't need somebody else. But I thought he had a great tweet when he said, if we could take out Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Georgia, and Clemson, we would have such a great season. But the other four are just playing out to see who's going to get their brains beat in by Alabama. And I think that's so right. And it goes to exactly what you just said about how many teams that and the rest of college football are really, really close. And we're going to see some crazy upsets. We're going to see momentum be a big deal because there's players that have been there and going to keep fighting and keep scratching and keep clawing. You'll see some comebacks. You know, so I think it's going to be a wild year. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But, boy, Alabama just – I mean, man, they just reload. I mean, look, we all know Saban's great, and he's the greatest guy to ever put on a headset. I don't even know how that's debatable at this point. But, damn, they look good for as many people as they put out there. I mean, I the freshman, you got to give him credit. I thought he looked significantly better than I expected. I mean, I expected a lot of what we got, but, I mean, Miami just had no business on the field with those guys. I mean, they are a shell of what they once were, and I think Diaz has improved them. And it just really is a testament to how good Alabama is. They play somebody to start every year, and they just beat the hell out of them. I don't know why anybody's signing up for this game at this point.
I tell you what, of all the handicapping we did and going in the rate that we've gone in the last 2 weeks, I'm going to say our research for summer, I'm pretty happy with it. But we missed on Alabama. I know Alabama won and covered, but you nor I thought Alabama was going to come out like they did and just keep it rolling. And we thought the defense would be great, and it was. I thought the offense would not really take a step back, but maybe just a different direction and lean more on the running game. Man, I was dead wrong on that. Those guys are ready to play. I mean, if you can't score 35 against that team, you're going to have trouble winning. And that's just – how it is, and that's the best defense in the country. And it's going to be there's going to be a lot of teams I think that can improve to get there, but they got a long way to go, and Bama's already sitting there waiting for it. I mean, you could roll them over to January and just say, let's just play two games. Y'all get that one and just show up for the Natty, and let's see how this is going to go.
I mean, it really is. I mean, it's insane what they do. I mean, just incredible. And they roll it out week one. I mean, look, we talked about Texas A&M, and look, they looked significantly worse than I thought they would. for the whole game. But, I mean, man, you've got to be kidding me. That's a slowdown. That's what you do when you lose quarterbacks like they've had. And good Lord, they just trot another cat out there who's just firing on all cylinders as a freshman. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's just hard to put into words how far ahead of everyone they are in college football in just reloading and just great player after great player. I mean, you hadn't heard of many of those wide receivers, but buddy, you're going to have heard of them by the middle of October. I mean, those cats, I mean, they are good, and it is fun to watch. It so is. That was a great part of the season last week. The Longhorns, if you didn't take that bet, you need to watch more college football. And those teams as a whole, they're going to upset them every now and then, but it doesn't happen very often. And when you get a line in single digits and you get it like Texas, they're just going to pound them. And that's exactly what they did. They out-physicaled those guys. They beat them up physically and covered that game comfortably. You know, we talked about being 10-1 overall, but Mark, we're 20-3 on every game we've discussed the first 2 weeks.
Let's not get greedy.
That don't happen very much. I ain't had many runs like that. I've had them the other way, but I hadn't had many like this. So it's been – the start of the season's been good. So to affirm what you said, it is a lot of research. Mm. And like I said, it's fun. These first 2 weeks tell you if everything you did for eight weeks, all summer sitting at the beach and everywhere you go, if you wasted 8 weeks – or if it was, you know, time well spent. So we get one more week out of it, because then it's about who you're playing, and then you start figuring the teams out. And you've really got to start diving into the teams and who's injured and who's not. And, you know, all of those things kind of wash themselves out. I will say this on a lot of the teams. I think the transfer portal is obviously changing football, but you've got teams that people overrate because of all the transfers. And I think you're going to see a lot of people doing that in the next 2 or 3 weeks with Louisiana Tech after what happened in that Mississippi State game. And make no mistake, those 21 transfers have not made – that team's not going to win CUSA. That's a mid-level CUSA team. They are not very good. And State just isn't very good either, which we're going to ride again this week. But – that was of all the games I've ever watched at Mississippi State, when we're losing, because we've lost to a lot of bad teams in my life watching that football team. I'm pissed and I get mad and you're frustrated. I really wasn't mad. I mean, State was just shooting themselves in the foot. And you're like, I mean, all they need to do is just not turn the football over and then win this game. And then boom, they got a kickoff return down to the 20, and I was like, they're going to sneak up and win this game. And then they sent them 3 and out, scored again. And then I was just thinking, are they going to score too soon and give La Tech a chance to win it? And they almost did. So last week was a fun week. Boise UCF was a great game. Gus Buss getting it done for us. We just like he teased it. I mean, he gave us all we had. And LSU UCLA went exactly like I thought it was. I should have bet UCLA. That was a mistake on my part. But I got to say, Mark, we have bet a lot of over-unders. When was the last time you remember us hitting the under by the hook?
It's never happened. It's never happened.
I'm serious. I sat in the pool on Monday trying to remember, when's the last time I covered an under by the hook? I've lost it an ass ton by hook. I mean, a bunch. But I don't think – I truly cannot remember the last time I covered it by the hook. So that was a lot of fun in the opening weekend.
No, I would agree with you. I don't think key numbers in college are as important as they are in the NFL. That's obvious just by the point spreads and how big the variance is. But, yeah, I agree with you. A couple of things, man, take away. Georgia-Clemson, I still think both those teams are really good. Georgia's going to have to learn how to play offense. And I know they matched up probably against the best defense they're going to see all year until maybe they get to the SEC championship game. I feel good about my Georgia ticket at minus, 10-1 to win the Natty. I still think we're in a good spot there. They'll play a game this week against UAB that's interesting. Kirby has alluded there's going to be some players out to COVID. So we could be dealing with that. Penn State, Wisconsin, the other big game during that during the day, man. What a weird football game that was. I mean,
wow.
Graham Mertz, he's a science experiment, man. That guy just – he cannot decide if he wants to win the game. And he had so many chances. And it was obvious to me he had no idea what Penn State's defense was doing, because he had a couple of balls – that could have been picked off, but weren't. That they just throwing down the middle of the field. That he
staring down that tight end. Absolutely,
just couldn't see him. Iowa game, Indiana. If you bet on Indiana, man, Michael Penix, that guy's hurt. I mean, I don't know. There was rumors game day he wasn't going to play. You can tell he's 65 to 70% of what he needs to be. It was not a big game. Iowa defensively dominated them and just kind of Iowa'd him to death. I was impressed with Florida State, and maybe the best story of the weekend is when McKenzie gets in late in the game, and that shovel pass he throws in the fourth quarter, that play was so sick nasty. I mean, I jumped out of my chair when he threw it.
And, Mark, the great part on the pump fake when he fumbled, if that ball doesn't slip out of his hands, he shakes that linebacker, and there's no telling what happens. I mean, no telling what happens, because he got that guy in the air, and that was all he was trying to do. And he was about to sneak right past that kid. As many people as Notre Dame sent, I'm guessing there's somebody open. So, you know, just a great play. Oklahoma Tulane, we got to talk about. Just simply – Oklahoma's, you and I texted back and forth about it. They're right there at halftime. You think, they're going to come through and cover this deal. And then literally, they just forget that Marvin Mims is on the football team. And just like, oh, we don't throw that guy in the second half. What the hell we want to throw the best wide receiver on the team for? I mean, they went to sleep. They were awful. And I went literally from pissed that they weren't going to cover to just straight out cheering for Tulane to win the game straight up when they got that onside. Like, I'm openly cheering for them to get the onside kick. And then when they got it, I'm cheering for them like my life depends on it. That was a great effort from my man, Willie Fritz. Great job. I do not know if anybody saw the retweet this week, speaking of Willie Fritz, where I sent him out from Pittsburgh State with the smooth mohawk from the early 80s, baby. That was awesomeness. I mean, pure awesomeness.
Yeah, that quarterback for Tulane, he is a full-on dude. Loved watching that kid play. And frankly, I missed on Tulane. I didn't think Tulane was going to be pretty good. I'm going to have to reevaluate and look at them when they get into conference play. Ohio State, Mini, great game. Great game to open up with. Mini loses Ibrahim. I'm sad to see that kid is
me too.
So,
that kid was good.
Oh, so electric. Running behind that giant offensive line. I mean, the whole game changed once he was out. But the offense from Oregon State or from Ohio State, Olave, Stevens, they're as advertised, man. Those guys are fun to watch. I think Stroud in the second half looked good. Ryan Day after the game comes out and said, we just told him to keep swinging. We didn't want to bottle him up. And if he had done that, I think they might have lost that game instead. They pulled away and won that one. We snuck that one in. But, yeah, it was a good weekend. I got a couple of things I got to put out there, and I'm sure you do too. First one I was on the under in the Kansas State-Stanford game, which was a sleeper. And I think Stanford is going to be fucking terrible. I've said that since you and I started talking this year. This game, the offense has passed David Shaw by. He doesn't have an NFL quarterback. He doesn't have the tight ends he needs to. There's no J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. There's nothing explosive on this team. I mean, you got Emmett Sims, Smith's kid, and that's about it. But this is why I'm going to bet against Stanford every week until I fall over. It's 24-0. They score a touchdown. There's 5 minutes left to make it 24-6. My man David Shaw lines up and kicks the extra point. And I'm thinking, okay, great. He's going to kick off, and we're just going to wind this thing down and get it over with. No, what's he do? He onside kicks. And I'm like, some bitch, if you're going to onside kick, yeah, you're not going for two. You're still down three scores. What are you doing?
That's the dumbest thing ever.
I mean, my head exploded. I was like, what is he doing? It's like, I'm not even cheering for you to do well in this point. I want you to do nothing, and that's the worst call I've ever seen. It's like, why go for one, and then you kick it off? I don't understand it.
And you know, and the worst part is he's coaching a bunch of smart guys.
Oh,
I mean, those guys have got to be thinking, what the hell is this guy doing? I mean, seriously. Oh. I mean, they can add. I mean, these dudes, they were coding when they were in third grade, some of these guys.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
Oh, unbelievable. Look, this weekend was a fabulous week, just in general.
Fans.
Watching some of the coaches, but my man Ed Orgeron, I'm just gonna tell you, the same thing that I love that he's passionate and he's a position coach, man. And at the end of the day, it all worked out for him, and he's always gonna have had a natty. But rolling down there with your sissy blue shirt, and kudos to UCLA for taking it and rolling with it and just making shirts. It's awesome. You take it, roll it. Remember, I'm not a soft guy. I'm not a woke guy. Man, roll with it. If somebody says something, the best thing to do is go punch them in the mouth, and that's exactly what UCLA did. You know, and then take it and stick it right up their tail. Kudos for UCLA for doing that. But Orgeron, come on, man. You think Nick Saban ever does that?
No, but I think Orgeron's going to get – and look at the – I'm going to be honest with you. I got a lot of great friends that went to LSU. I watch football with them on Saturday almost every week. I'm cheering for LSU. I'm going to two home games this year, right? And I went to Baylor. I'm going to two LSU home games. And I love Coach O. He is fantastic.
He's awesome.
For football.
No doubt about it.
But they're going to get outcoached every single week.
Every week.
With him in there. And you got to keep that in mind. I mean, you're literally, if home field advantage at Death Valley is 3-4, I think you need to subtract 2 points. He's as bad a coach as Les Miles was, you know, in that spot. You're going to get out coached in that spot. He caught lightning in a bottle. So I agree with you. Move on. Scott, let me throw a couple others at you, man. I don't know if you saw this or not. Presbyterian College. We're going to be getting on Presbyterian College in the FCS level. That's where my man Kelly is. It's the Arkansas high school coach that doesn't punt, only onside kicks, and goes for it on fourth down. And in his first week in college football this week, he scored 84 points. And so we will be rolling on some Presbyterian College this year. We're going to find some nuggets in the FCS ranks and try to get on him in that spot.
I did not know that's where he ended up. That's interesting. They actually played a school, his old high school in Little Rock played a played school from Mississippi last week, and I was on a group text. I'm like, why am I being copied on high school football in Mississippi? Do I need to be here? But it still was entertaining. The other thing I want to say, how about my man Kelly at Notre Dame getting no love? He tries to be funny.
It's an old John McKay comment. Yeah.
John McKay, that's exactly right. If you know anything about football, you know what he's trying to do. And everybody's like, oh, you want to get over it, you bunch of whiny losers. I mean, get over yourselves. And the great part is, this is the same crew that was yelling at his ass for screaming at the players the last time when he was just red-faced and pissed the last time they were in Tallahassee. And they're like ready to fire him. Oh, Notre Dame ought to fire him. Oh, his coach shouldn't behave like that. Oh, he ought to be better than that. So he can't be funny and he can't be pissed. And then they also complain that Nick Saban's just blah and doesn't get a decent interview. What the hell do you want? Y'all are people causing it. How about laugh at a joke every now and then? Who cares if he blew the delivery of it? It was funny. You know, they didn't execute well. They were close to blowing Florida State out. And their poor execution almost cost them the football game. No. And that's exactly what he was trying to say. I actually liked that he had a sense of humor. I think the guy's grown as a coach. And I think he's going to continue to recruit really, really well. Because, look, you look at he and Marcus Freeman, what they're doing recruiting. And they are starting to recruit at a higher level. And they're getting some guys. I mean, they just got defensive end. I think it was from Virginia. That everybody in the country wanted. I think his final three were Alabama, Notre Dame, and Ohio State. They start winning those recruiting battles, and Notre Dame will get back.
Yeah. What about in that same game, Norvell, knowing that Georgia was on the road and LSU was in California? So all the recruits he's got that he's battling with, what's he do? He brings them to Tallahassee for this game, national TV, game of the night, gets them all out there. I was impressed with Florida State, man. I
was too.
I was very impressed with, and I want Florida State to be good. I was very impressed with that team. I liked what he did. And again, you can kind of wash last year away. You were dealing with a lot. I thought Jordan Travis actually played pretty good. Mackenzie Milton comes in after he gets nicked up. I don't know if Travis is going to start or Mackenzie Milton's going to start, but either way, I think Florida State could be trending in a positive direction. I know there's no moral victories in football, but those kids got to take away from something that, hey, we're, you know what, we're a lot better than where we were and get a little bit more confidence under their belt. So I'm on Florida State. I kind of like what we got here. But let's get back to one of our favorite teams, Scotty. Over-under win total, 7.5. Let's talk about NC State in South Florida. We're going to go back to this game again. I think NC State is – this team is – I don't know what it is about the pundits, but they do not want to believe that this team is any good. And I'm telling you, I think this NC State team is good. I think they're going to win some games. I think this NC State team easily could be the number two or three team in the ACC, and no one wants to give them any credit. They dominated South Florida. South Florida's terrible, absolutely terrible. But they still came out and got their business taken care of, which is what good teams need to go do in these spots.
Yep, I agree with you. Look, they play. They do play a tough schedule in that. And this, again, looking at preseason, you know, they got Clemson at home and they play North Carolina, and that obviously what most people thought were the two best teams in the league. And they're at Miami and they're at Florida State. So a lot of people, they're also at Boston College. So I think a lot of people are downplaying, okay, well, they're not going to end up with that good of a record. That for gamblers, I don't really care about their record. What kind of team have they got? And if they got a chance to win some games they shouldn't, do they have the talent to sneak up on some people? And I think these guys do. Look, Bam Knight and Ricky Person are both really, really good backs running the football. And I think Devin Leary is better than a lot of people give him credit for. And they beat the brakes off South Florida. I mean, they could have beaten them as bad as they wanted to beat them.
Yeah. Now, I think South Florida is one of the worst teams in the country, and we'll touch on that when we get through our lineup here in a minute. But, yeah, I was impressed they came out and got their job done. A couple other things I want to point out. Woo, Tennessee, go back to the black cleats, man. You know, that just needs to make you look better. And Milton at quarterback, I think that's going to be a long season watching those guys. And I'll throw one more out to you, Scott, and I'll leave it to you, and then we can get into the lineup. Up in your neck of the woods, good friend of ours sent me a note letting me know old Allen, old head football, Allen High School, hired Chad Morris to be their head football coach after getting shit canned from Arkansas. And this weekend, they lost their first game or first or second game. They'd won 84 home games or some odd games in a row.
First loss in that new stadium.
In 84 games.
And they've been in there like 6-7 years.
This goes to show you, coaching matters, man. And Chad Morris is ungood at it. That's all I got to say about that.
That is hilarious. I had totally, when they were losing, I had totally forgotten that he's the head coach again. And then read about it, and I'm like, oh, gosh. I'm like, oh, I forgot he was over there. Oh, it's like, well, that explains a lot.
Scotty, that being said, that's last week, and like we do it every week, that's all behind us. It's time to move on to this week. You ready?
I'm ready, my man.
All right, let's jump in. Somebody hit me up on Twitter, wanted to know where the rotation numbers were. If you were with us last year and you don't know what a rotation number is, if you go to StatFox, if you go to Vegas Insider, if you go to any site that shows all the games, the game to the number to the left is the rotation number. If you're in Vegas and you roll up to make a bet, you got to know your rotation number, because if you just walk up and tell them you want UTEP plus 26, they may not know what game you're talking about. So trying to make sure we can keep everybody honest and put it out there. That being said, Scotty, let's start with game 309. Big time game. Oregon State, Ohio State. Over under here is 64, 63.5. Ohio State laying 14.5. Oregon scored 31 points last week, gave up 24. Ohio State scored 45 points, gave up 31. If you're looking at what went on in this game, Oregon obviously let Fresno stay around in this game, actually was winning this game. They had to come back and win it. Oregon had two defensive backs on the sideline that didn't play in this game. Suspension, I think, was the reason for most of them. They're supposed to be back. The Kayvon Thibodeau, the defensive end for Oregon, finished the game in a boot, which is kind of scary because that guy probably is the number one pick in the draft. He is so fucking nasty.
He is so nasty.
Especially in the Pac-12. Anyway, they're traveling to Columbus play on Saturday. This is a body clock game, man. Game starts at noon Eastern time. It's going to be 9 o'clock West Coast time for Oregon. Oregon supposedly practices in the morning, so they're saying that's not going to be a big deal. I'm going over here, brother. 63.5. I like this team. I like this Ohio State team. I think they're going to get this thing firing, get it rolling. Same thing with Oregon. Where I'm looking for this game to be, I think this game's going to finish up about 42-32 is where I'm looking at this game to come in at. Weird score, but I'm telling you, man, I think it's going to be – I think they're going to be inside the number. I don't know if Ohio State's going to beat them by 14.5. I could see them being inside the number on this one for Oregon, but I like the over in this game quite a bit. I think it's going to be a lot of points. I was impressed with the Ohio State offense, and I think it keeps on rolling.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that Fresno game. Fresno should have won that game. Or very easily could have won that game last week against Oregon. But here's the deal. This is a gigantic game for the Pac-12. And this week is a gigantic game. Now, kudos to UCLA because they held their end of the bargain up and got them a win against the SEC. Now you got two playing Big Ten schools on the road in big matchups against two marquee brands. This could do a lot for the Pac-12 if they can win these games. I don't think they're going to be able to do it, certainly not in this one. I think Washington may still can, although that team was a total letdown. But I think this number's just exactly about like it finished up last week, a 45-31 game for Ohio State. I think it's right in that kind of ballpark. I agree with you, the over. I think this number's right on it. But candidly, could I see Ohio State winning this game by three touchdowns? You betcha. They're a good football team. They're going to get loose. But Oregon's got some athletes too, and I think there will be space in this Ohio State defense for Oregon to make some plays and score some points. So I very much like the over in this.
Hey, let me ask you this question. We didn't talk about this to get ready for the show, but, you know, used to when we talk about this, when Oregon made that national championship run, and we were kind of enamored by Oregon early on, and then – as we started looking at them, we realized just Oregon couldn't play physically with the teams. And it showed when they got to the championships and BCS and whatnot. Do you think Cristobal has built a roster that can play physically with an Ohio State or with a Bama or a Georgia or a team like that now?
No, I don't. I think that's what the difference of the game is, but I think he is doing it, yes. I really do. And I think they're trying to do it. I do think that offensive line has made some progress, but I do not think they are there yet. I think they're still a year or two away from being able to do that.
Next game I got, Florida, South Florida. This should be an interesting one. They're playing this one in Tampa. Over-under is 58.5. Florida's laying 29. Florida scored 35 points last week, gave up 14. South Florida scored donut and gave up 45 to NC State. We already covered that one. Scotty, where I'm at in this one is Florida last week had to play two quarterbacks. And the second quarterback looked strong to me. Enjoyed watching him play. Dan, I think, is trying to figure out what he wants to do. Does he want to be more of a running quarterback team, or does he want to throw it? But I think he's got two pretty good options there. But they've got a big game on deck next week with Bama. The line in the first half is 17. I'm going to take Florida minus 17 in the first half. I think they get it done.
Yeah, Dan, at the end of the day, is a quarterback, kind of a quarterback guru. Emory Jones has been a guy that, honestly, he's been – I think Emory Jones was committed to State for a year before Mullen left, to tell you how long Mullen's been recruiting him. And he seems like his guy, but at the same time, it's pretty clear that he's not picked it up the way Dan wants him to pick it up, or there wouldn't be a – 2 QB deal. But at the same time, you know, Prescott was a guy who it took him 3 full years to get it. The redshirt year and his first 2 years, he really struggled trying to pick up Dan's offense. And then year four, he got it. And year five was a better year. So I still think Jones could have a really good year. But at the end of the day, they're just way too talented for this football team. And yes, this should be a lock. They should beat this team by 21 points in the first half.
Next game, Scotty, we got the Johnny Majors Classic. I remember when I saw this game on the schedule back in June, and I was like, God, I hope they talk about Johnny Majors in this game. If you don't know who Johnny Majors is, he was a head football coach at the University of Pittsburgh. He was also the head football coach at the University of Tennessee. Probably one of the best coaches that coached both of these programs in their prime. Pittsburgh over under here is 56.5. Pitt is laying 3 on the road. Pitt scored 51 last week, gave up 7. Tennessee scored 38 and gave up 6. Scotty, this is an SEC game. I'll defer to you. How are we going to play this?
Well, I think Pittsburgh's just better. I think Tennessee's a mess. And I am selling on Milton.
Oh, man.
It's very much like everybody wanted to last year after the first game, Michigan, they all wanted to jump on the bandwagon. And everybody's back on the bandwagon again. Let me say their opponent was awful.
I didn't even
think Milton. It's not awful.
I didn't think Milton looked good last week.
Well, I didn't either, but people are, they scored 5-2. You know, I'm like, no, they didn't. That team's terrible. I thought they did not look good at all. I think their defense is pedestrian. This is the best defense Narduzzi's had. And it's very much like you said, they play a lot faster than people realize. I think they're going to drill Tennessee.
I do too. If you don't know this, Heupel typically wants to run the fastest offense in the country. He dialed it up last week. But if you don't watch a lot of Pitt games play, Mark Whipple, the offensive coordinator for Pitt, he'll dial it up too and get some tempo going. So these guys can practice against this. It's not going to be something new for them to see tempo. They probably saw it all fall camp getting ready for this. I don't think Pitt's going to have any problems. And the other thing too, Scott, if Pitt comes out in the mustard yellow unis with the powder blue unis and with the powder blue tops, just lock it up, because there's no way they're going to lose that game if they roll old school with the mustard
yellow. Tony Dorsett style?
Oh, yeah, and I think they're going to in this one. So I'm kind of excited about that one.
Well, I'll tell you too, another thing that I think is unthought of for a lot of people in this game is – Narduzzi's coached against this staff twice. Pitt played UCF the last couple of years. And so they have faced Heupel. And so they know exactly what they're getting. Only I think they're getting a significantly less talented team. And we all know they beat them once. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. I like Pitt laying the 3 on the road. And I normally would hate that. But I'll give the 3. I just don't think Tennessee's a very good football team.
Next game, Scotty, let's go to a game that's going to be awesome. This Saturday is going to be September the 11th, which is a day for people of our generation will probably remember like Pearl Harbor. Air Force and Navy play. I cannot wait to watch this game. I cannot wait to see what a lot of these schools – I kind of wish A&M was at home this weekend so I could see what they did. I thought the red, white, and blue last week against Kent State was awesome. Air Force is traveling to Navy. This is a giant game for these two teams. This is Commander's Cup. It's game 337, 338 on your rotation sheet. Over-under is 41. Navy is getting 5.5 to 6. Air Force scored 35 points last week, gave up 14. Navy scored 7 and gave up 49. Scotty, give me the Falcons, man. The Falcons last year had a lot of kids opt out. They had a lot about what they call turnbacks, which were kids that didn't play because of COVID. Some of them are coming back this year to play. This Navy team is a mess. In their last 4 games, Navy has scored 20 points. 20 points. And I don't think you realize like how big of a game this is for these service academies. And they won't embarrass you, but they don't really have to. Both these teams run very similar offenses. It's not hard for them to put a practice squad together to practice against them. Air Force comes in here. I think this Air Force team is really pretty strong this year and is going to probably contend in the Mountain West. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but I think they're going to be there and have a chance. And this Navy team has done nothing to impress me the last 2 years. I think it's going to roll here. Air Force all the way -5.5.
Yeah, I like you here. You were talking about 9/11. It will be interesting to see what this game entails on 9/11. But did you know, question, the first team to play to open college football back up after 9/11?
I'm going to guess Mississippi State.
The Mississippi State Bulldogs versus South Carolina. That's exactly right. Lou Holtz is a great ball game, too. I was there. It was a tremendous ball game. But But anyway, just a that was a great time. Unveiled a huge flag. It was basically the size of the field. It was a great moment. But we lost, so wasn't not nearly as great as I would have liked for it to have been. But back to the service academies. I think we'll see something great here. I think Navy's reeling. I think that's just the bottom line. They have played in that stretch where they scored 20, another service academy. And they have really, really struggled. And I just don't see that ending this week. I like Air Force as well.
Next game, Scotty, MAC game of the week, Ball State. Traveling up to College Park to play Penn State, Happy Valley to play Penn State. 57.5 the over under. Penn State's laying 22.5. Ball State scored 31 last week, gave up 21. Penn State scored 16, gave up 10. Before I let you put it in your play on this, how we're going to play this, James Franklin, for as bad as he manages clock most of the time, I thought he actually did a pretty good job last week against Wisconsin. And so maybe he's figuring it out. I'm not 100% convinced Sean Clifford and that offense has got it figured out yet. But they were better. Penn State was better. But what are we going to do? Are we going to take Testicle Tech this week as our MAC play of the week?
Yes, we are. Testicle Tech. The great part of this is such a sandwich game. And look, I didn't think Ball looked very good last week because this is a team that obviously won the MAC. And I was, you know, they got, like all these mid-level schools, everybody back. It's freaky how many Letterman and starters. I think they got 21 starters listed back, but I think they only lost like 8 Letterman or something nuts. I mean, it's crazy. But they've got everybody back. This is as much about sandwich for me. I mean, you got Penn State off that gigantic ball game, and then they got Auburn looming in Happy Valley next week. You think they're sleepwalking? Think it's fairly safe to say they're sleepwalking, but this was as I started researching it, because we had somebody ask us about this game on Twitter, and I had already looked at it, but as you start really digging into it, there's a couple of interesting stats. Ball State 7-1 against the spread their last 8 versus the Big Ten. They're 6-1 against the Power 5 against the spread their last 7. That's pretty good backup. They don't win these games. They've only got 3 wins all time against the Big Ten, and they're in Big Ten country, and all 3 of those are against Indiana, the in-state rival. So the little brother, big brother kind of deal. So that all makes sense. They're certainly, I don't think, in danger of losing this ball game, but this looks like could be a lot closer than people think. And Penn State's been known to lay some of these out there, and I think this is going to be another chance where they just are trying to scoot by, and they got a big game next week after a big game the week before. So I like the points and Testicle Tech on the road.
There we go. Scotty, let's get to the biggest game of the weekend. Seahawk! I don't know if y'all can hear that or not. That's game 349-350. If y'all have never watched the Seahawk game, Iowa-Iowa State, you're missing out on a fantastic game. There will be more Bush Light consumed in the state of Iowa on Saturday than you can shake a stick at, and Natty Light will only be a second. Over-under here is 46. Line here is Iowa State -4. Iowa scored 34 points last week, gave up 6. Iowa State 16, gave up 10. They were squeaking by to get by Northern Iowa. Scott, we've played this game 5 years in a row. We've been on the side of my man, the human handicap, Kirk LaFrance, on this thing, our friends the whole time. Where are we going to play this game?
We're going back with him, baby. That's just too many points. If this game gets stretched out, it's always Iowa doing the stretching. And if Iowa State wins it, it's a really close game. Iowa has won a couple of really close games the last couple of years, but they've also drilled them a couple of times in the last 5 years. So I think this is just too – I think it's going to be a barn burner. I will tell you, I'm very likely to bet this game on the money line too, because I just think Iowa's probably going to win the football game. I know this is a great Iowa State team, but, man, I'm telling you, people are overvaluing COVID year. A lot of these teams, just things were off the grid. I mean, things were off the rails. And I just think this year's more normal. And I just think Iowa's a more talented football team. They got a better 85 than Iowa State does.
It's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to this game. I'm on Iowa as well, -4. This is a public underdog in this spot, or Iowa plus four. This is a public dog in this spot because of what Kirk Ferentz has done all these years. I'm still going to roll with him. And 46 being the over-under, I don't ever suggest betting a teaser, but I might just tease the total up and take Iowa plus 10 as well and just see what we can get out of it just for some fun times. But we'll see how that goes. Game 374, Scotty, move on down your rotation sheet now. Scoot. Kentucky, Missouri. Kentucky's laying 5. Over-under's 56. Kentucky scored 45 points last week, gave up 10. Mizzou scored 34, gave up 24. Both these teams come in 1-0. SEC game, Scott. How are we going to play it?
You know what? Stoops is just a little farther down the road than Drinkwitz on building this program. I said last week that I think Drinkwitz is doing a really good job. He's got this program going in the right direction. But I did not think they looked as good as I expected them last week. It was a game I said I wanted to watch. And the reason I said I wanted to watch it was because I had my eye on this ball game. Where's the value going to be? What are they going to look like, coming into Lexington? And I just think Stoops is farther down the road. I think Levis looked really good last week. Yeah. I thought they did a really good job as a Penn State transfer at quarterback. They're throwing the football more, getting the ball down the field, and they still got really, really good backs, and they got a really, really good offensive line. So now this team's finally balanced, and Stoops is, a really, really good defensive coordinator and has done a really good job on that side of the ball. They are playing a little faster, so I think the game is going to be a little bit different. But at the end of the day, I think Kentucky has just got a little too much for them. Last year, Mizzou won on the road, but otherwise Kentucky has really done a nice job in this series over the last years. I think they've won 6 of 7. I think that's right. I think I read that. I know they won 3 of the last 4. Four of the last 5. So at the end of the day, just think Stoops a little farther along in where these programs are at. And I like Kentucky laying the 5 at home. I think they're the better football team.
I agree with you. Stoops in Kentucky, that guy's done a hell of a job. I mean, literally changed offenses several times. He's Benny Snell'd your ass. I mean, they played defense like you couldn't believe. This guy has done a fantastic job at Kentucky, and we talked about it early on in the summer. You want to talk about a hard place to coach? Kentucky. You can't. There's not 85 D1 scholarship players in the state of Kentucky. And he has somehow built a program. Will Levis, the transfer down from Penn State. You're right. They are running some tempo. I like Kentucky here. I think we're going to get it done. Scotty, let's go back to your home. Let's go back down the road from your house where you grew up. We're talking about the Mississippi State Bullfrogs playing NC State Wolfpack. One word. Line here opened up a pick 'em. Now Mississippi State's getting 2.5 at home. Over-under's 55. NC State 45 to bullet last week in South Florida. Mississippi State 34 against La Tech. Both these teams are 1-0. How are we going to roll this?
Look, man, I have had my eye on this game all summer. And Mississippi State looked pretty much like – now, look, I'm not saying I expected that game to be a one-point game. But I didn't think State was going to be very good. And I thought that offensive line, as I mentioned last week, they're too big. He is not wanting to roll with 315-pound guys. And they just did not look very good on that offensive line. And this week, they play a team that's got a legit defensive line because last week wasn't it. And this week, they're playing a football team that's got some players up there. And I think we're going to see – a really, really, really good defensive line from NC State rolling there. And I think control this football game. I said earlier in the podcast how much I like the quarterback and the running backs here. I just think this is a much better NC State team than people realize. I think this is one of those years, and NC State does it every 4 or 5 years, pops up with just a great team, and they pump out some really good players. I think a couple of years ago they had 4 starters on the defensive line, all get drafted. This seems to me like that kind of year for NC State. I just think they're a better football team. I think State has still got a lot of holes. Everybody's all fired up in the bump that Leach gets in the second year. And that's not what I've seen in my research. It's year three. They take a step forward in scoring in year two. I think that's going to happen just because it wasn't a COVID year. And, I mean, this is really Leach's first time with this team, having them for an offseason, having to be able to work with them through a spring and all those things. So I expect them to step forward in scoring as it is. At the end of the day, this team's really shallow. It's not anywhere close to 85 scholarships. And they're playing another Power 5 football team that is at 85, that's in a good place. I think this going to be. I think the fascinating part for this game is how State can stop that running game, and can they make North Carolina State be one-dimensional? I don't think so, because I think NC State's a better football team than people realize. I like NC State here laying the points. I was on it early. I'm going to be on it again at 2.5. I think they came comfortably. I think NC State wins this game by 10.
Scotty, let's travel out west and get up high. Let's go to the Holy War. Utah and the boys in special underwear. That'd be BYU if you hadn't listened to us before. Over-run here is 48.5. BYU getting 7 at home. Utah scored 40 points last week, gave up 17. BYU scored 24 points, gave up 16. Both these teams are 1-0. Big on Utah this week. Utah's won this game, I think, the last 5 years in a row. I think they may have covered it 4 of the 5 that they've played this. This typically is a pretty physical game. A lot of these kids know each other. They play against each other. The boys in special underwear played Arizona last week. Arizona gave these guys just about all they want. But I will say this. I did like BYU's all-blue unis. I thought they looked sharp. But they had some injuries that poked up last week. Gunnar Romney's out. He's a starter. They've got two defensive linemen that may be nicked up in this game. This Utah team is physical. They take them just like their coach. They are intense. They play like that. Charlie Brewer got his first game under his belt. This guy has started a ton of games. He's been in a lot of big games. He played at Baylor all those years, transferred up here. I like the Utes laying 7 in Provo.
Yeah, the last couple of years they've really kind of dominated this game in 18 and 19. And then you had close games a couple times before that. But at the end of the day, I just like where Utah is. This program's not rebuilding. This is, I think, the year for these guys. I really do. If they're going to take that step, this could be it. They got to figure out how to win at USC. But they get Arizona State at home. They get UCLA at home. This could be the year they take that step. This is a good football team, and the bottom line is it's a better roster than where BYU is with all the losses. And then you take out a couple of playmakers that BYU's got hurt at this point. I like Utah. I think they win this game comfortably. In 2019, it was a 30-12 ball game with a first-rounder playing quarterback for BYU who ended up turning out to be a first-rounder. Give me Utah. I think it's going to be very much that kind of game this weekend.
Scotty, that's the board we got. We got some rapid-fire games. We got some games on Twitter folks want to talk to us about. First game we got, Texas and Arkansas. Line here, I think, is floating around 6.5 and 7. Texas coming in here after a pretty good showing last week against Ulala. Arky struggled against Rice, came back to get it done. What can we expect from Texas and Arkansas? What's your opinion on how it's going to go?
See, I think everybody's short-selling the Hogs right here because I think Rice is better than people think. Man, I am itching to bet. There's no way by Saturday I hadn't bet on it because I want to bet on it too bad to not do it. But I think Rice is better than people think. I'll probably bet on them, as I was just saying, this weekend. I think this is such a gigantic game for Arkansas. I think it was very much a look-past game. Arkansas's lost that game to Rice a bunch the last 4 years. I mean, Colorado State a couple of times. I mean, they've been bad. And they have turned the corner. I like this team. Now, their nose guard is coming back from an appendectomy. I need to get him back. I just don't think Texas is going to be able to line up and dominate these guys physically like they did Ulala. And I think a young quarterback going into a hostile environment, so sellout in Fayetteville, that place is going to be rowdy. They've expanded that stadium. And it's a sellout. Hog fans are ready. They've been clamoring for a big ball game. I like the Hogs to keep it in the number. I don't know that they're going to win it, but I think this is going to be a humdinger of a football game. Can't wait to watch it. But I do think they've got a chance to win this game. I think Texas got a better roster, much like I said last week. They're a team that, at the end of the day, has got a chance roster-wise to compete for a national title. But I think the Hogs are going to give them a good look. They played some really good teams close last year, and I think that's exactly what you're going to get this week as well.
I think Texas has got this game. I think this game's going to be close. You're going to have an Arkansas ticket in your pocket. You're going to think it's good, and you're going to look up at the end of the game, and you're going to have lost. Sarkisian has played against Barry Odom a couple of times. I think Barry Odom's a phenomenal defensive coordinator, probably one of the best in the conference. But I like what Sark did. I was impressed that he has already started doing some stuff at Texas that you could see him do when he was at Alabama, when he put Bijan Robinson out there on the corner, letting him delay and run the wheel route, bring some crossing routes in. I liked what you got there. They got a young quarterback in Hudson Card. I think it's going to be a very physical game. This is a game I'm really excited to watch. I think it's going to be electric. I think Texas sneaks this one out, covers the line at 7. Scotty, next one I got on Twitter. Gary Hummel hit this up for us. Aggies, Buffaloes. Ags traveling up to Colorado, laying 17 here against the Buffaloes. Interesting game, man, because when you look at the Buffs, I kind of look at last year as just a throwaway year. Because they brought in Mel Tucker so late, there's no way he could implement anything that was online and what he was doing. You got an Aggie team last week that they got the win. There's no way you could be overly impressed on what they did by Kent State. Kent State only covers, man. That's all they do. But laying 17 in this spot, I have no opinion on this game, but I could easily see this game being right at the number, 17-20. I think the number's right. I just can't see A&M stretching it out. I also wonder if the altitude's going to come into play for the Aggies because they don't get to practice at that. I mean, we're literally like 200 feet above sea level in College Station.
Yeah, I think the altitude is going to be a bigger factor than a lot of people think. Mm. I just don't know if this team's any good. I mean, they're one of the teams that's just hard. They played so little. Talking about the Buffs. They played so little last year. Like you said, it's totally new, you know, totally new deal. I just don't know what we're going to get. Carl Durrell, former player at UCLA, also coached at UCLA, and that experiment did not go well. I just don't know what we're going to get from Colorado, but I know this. We didn't get a very good-looking Aggie team last week, so I'm a little nervous to touch this. If I was going to take it, I'd take Colorado just because they're home and the points. But let me tell you something. You want to change some perception for a league? Let Colorado figure out how to win this game. I don't think that's going to happen, but holy moly will the Pac-12 be riding it. Boy, you want to talk about printing shirts, they'll be printing shirts.
Oh, goodness gracious. I'd take the Aggies minus 17. Scotty, another team we got on Twitter. Somebody hit us up. Want to talk about UAB Georgia. Georgia coming off that big game they had last week. They're laying 24.5. Over-under here is 45. Man, looking at this game, UAB played, was it Jacksonville State, the team in conference, FCS school. I didn't think he'd blow him out personally because that's his buddy. Bill Clark has been a gambler's best friend through all of this. They're getting 24.5. Georgia's got some rumors there could be COVID. They've got a ton of players out. They didn't prove last week that they could do anything offensively. I think they'll be back a little bit better this week. But the back door on this game is so wide open. I could see UAB sneaking in here, but it's hard for me to figure out how UAB is going to score against Georgia's defense if they leave the starters in there through the third quarter.
Yeah, if Georgia, I mean, even shows up, I cannot imagine that this is a very close football game. But at the same time, you know, you never know with Kirby. He has woodshedded some teams coming into the situation. I mean, look, they beat Appy State by 21 in 2017, and that was a really good Appalachian State football team. They're not scared to boat race some teams when they get them in there. So I really just don't think UAB is going to score. So if I was going to take this, I'd probably take Georgia. But I just don't like it after that huge game. As much as that offense struggled, you don't know really what you're going to get from Georgia. Clearly, it's not the same level of talent. But, you know, how good is Georgia offensively? And honestly, how good is Daniels? because he, the last two times he's been out there, he's been pedestrian at best. I know his numbers against Cincinnati in that bowl game ended up good, looking good. I don't think anybody thinks they played well on offense if you watch that ball game. They were certainly not very good on offense. I mean, they got a field goal because there was a pick six. I mean, the offense has scored a whopping 6 points combined last week. So, but I think UAB is going to have a lot of trouble scoring. But you're right, back door's really open. I'm not going to touch this game.
Scotty, you got any other plays, shotgun fire?
The only game that I think I am gonna just ride on, because I am not sold on South Carolina at all. I think East Carolina may have a chance to win that ball game straight up. I was sure hoping that line was going to be near 5 or 6, so we'd have a chance to really get on it. It's only at 2, so you don't get a lot of value. You might as well take the money line if you're going to take it. But if I'm going to play one of these games we've discussed here, probably be that game, that or the Arkansas game.
Purdue minus 21 first half against UConn. I am selling UConn all season long. Randy Edsall retired this week. He's gone. This Purdue team, I thought, did well against Oregon State, took care of their business. I think they roll this UConn team in the first half. I like Perdunk in this spot.
That's right. That's probably a pretty good bet. I'll tell you one game I'm not going to bet, but I'm really interested to watch, is Liberty.
Oh, that was on our list.
-4 at Troy.
That was on, our list.
Really fascinated to watch that game. I feel like that Liberty should win that. Boy, that line stinks. I know we got a question about it. It does look a little stinky. Troy's better, no doubt about it. And they got, again, like all these schools, they've got a million guys back. But at the end of the day, I just think Liberty's is 4 points better than this football team they ought to cover. But I'm not going to touch this game. That's just a gut feel. But I will watch this football game. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't have a feel on this one. I'm the same with you. I didn't get my eyes on Liberty last week to watch them. But I like Troy, in the Sun Belt. But I just didn't get a chance to play it.
Mark, it's kind of hard to find Liberty in Campbell.
Hey, I'll tell you. Yeah, that's true. I'll tell you another one that's sweet. Toledo getting 17 against Notre Dame. And by the way, if you think you're going to turn that game on NBC on Saturday, you are fucking wrong, because it's on the Peacock. So if you don't have the app, you don't even get to watch the game.
Yeah, that stinks, because that will be a lot. That will be actually a fun game to watch. I'm interested to see what Crandall rolls out there, what that Toledo team looks like.
Scotty, wrapping it up, what's your favorite play?
My favorite play of the week is the NC State Wolfpack. But although I have to tell you, a close second. Close. That Oregon-Ohio State over looks pretty good too.
I'm going to go with Pitt -3, and I would ride with you on Oregon State, Ohio State. I like that one as well. Folks, it's been fun. Enjoy all the Twitter commentary. Hit us up at @ScottDenson1. I'm @NipMark. That's @TNIPPMARC. And you can also hit us up at The Crazy Sheet. Share us with your friends. Put it out there. Give us some ratings. That actually helps the podcast. We had more downloads last week than we've ever had, and we appreciate all of y'all putting it out there. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to keep plowing through this season. Hopefully keep on winning some money and have a good time. With that being said, we love you, and we'll talk to you next week.